Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Keeping Up Appearances podcast. We are back this week, me and Max, as always. We've got Griffin on with us again this week, but we are also joined this week by a man who represents the Blues from above the Scottish border, but more importantly, he is one quarter of the best channel on YouTube, the Flat Chat own, Jacob Murray. Jacob, thank you for coming on.
Not a problem at all. Love that there's other Everton fans out there because there's not many up here. It's brilliant. Yeah.
Not many with as much positivity anyway.
Well, yeah. Interesting. It's a tricky club to follow.
Yeah. I know you've probably covered this on your like videos and stuff, but why are you an Everton fan, if you know
that? Rangers weren't bad enough, so I needed to put myself through it more. But all my mum's family are from Liverpool, so they're all season ticket holders at the new stadium. Well, they've had season tickets for about 40 years, so they brought me through it, and that's been it.
Yeah. Do you know, the more you think about it as well, there's quite a lot of links between Everton and Rangers, isn't there?
So many players.
Like, I feel like within Liverpool, anyway, I've always a lot of people like associating with Celtic, but I feel like player-wise, it's Everton Rangers, isn't it?
I think there's more to Everton and Rangers links, like players, managers and all that, but there is loads of fans that support Celtic and Everton, but the other Celtic thing, you'll never walk alone. I don't understand how they can have that link.
That's a very good point. Yeah.
Horrible.
I know. We won't get into that yet, Jacob. hold the bitterness just for a minute. how have we all been, lads, last couple of weeks? Last week or so. Max, the Roger Williams University, how are you doing?
Had our first loss of the season the day after the last podcast. Yeah, we lost 3-2. We didn't deserve to lose. We made a couple goalkeeper mistakes, but we bounced back at the weekend, got a 3-0 win. But it's different. It's like conference games and non-conference games, so the loss was in a non-conference game, so it doesn't really matter, if that makes sense.
We all say.
But the winner of the weekend was a second winning conference, so we're first in our conference, which is good.
How many are in it?
10, I want to say. Yeah, 10.
So, Jacob, for obviously your ignorance here, so we're all mates from school, like the Flat Chat boys are mates from uni and stuff. But Max made the decision about 10 years ago to move to America. So he's been playing his trade over there. He works with Roger Williams University, is that it? Yeah. And doing the women's football coaching. So
every week
we've become like fanboys of the Roger Williams, haven't we? Not anymore, though. I've lost.
You need to get over to a game. You need to get a ticket, get over across the pond.
Do you know what? That's a good idea, Max. Can you pay for the flights for me?
Yeah, sure, yeah.
Yeah, I've got
one of those 24-hour connecting ones from Istanbul.
If we ever make it big, that's the first Patreon special. Griffin, what about you?
Yeah, same old lad, just, cracking on. Glad to be here again now. Thank you very much for having me on.
You say it sounds so sarcastic, but yeah. Thank you all for coming on.
Not meant to be.
Right. So obviously this was planned specifically the back end of the Merseyside derby, and we have two reds, two blues. So yeah, let's get stuck into the derby chat. What are we thinking, lads? Who wants to start? Tell you what, before we go in here, let's stick to the football. We'll come to the politics after. Let's stick to the footy. Who wants to get going?
I'll go. Considering that we won. I thought Liverpool were very, very good for the first half an hour. Played some really, really good football. Got the two goals. Gravenberch's goal was a fantastic finish. Thought the second half was more Everton's. Thought he just played really well. Thought I might have been a chance in the first half, actually, with Dewsbury Hall. I thought he should have done better. The one where Grealish slips it down the side and somebody puts it like near post, doesn't he? Second half, you were good. It's probably the first time in a while where you've actually came to play. And maybe because you've got better players now with like Grealish, Dewsbury, and like that. But I didn't think at any point we were uncomfortable. I didn't think we were going to lose. I thought it was a comfortable win.
Yeah. I think I'll probably agree with that, to be fair, even though it pains me to say.
Yeah.
I think you put in our group chat, didn't you, Griffin, that we could have been playing for another couple of hours and we probably wouldn't have scored.
Yeah, I think at 2-0, I think I might have actually put in the group chat again. Like, that's game, set, and match, I think. And from there, without even getting started, I don't think Liverpool were in control. I agree with what Max is saying about Everton. They did look a far more impressive side than they have done for years, to be honest. But with Beto up front, I don't think you're going to do anything because I don't think he's good enough. He doesn't offer anything from what I can see. And from Liverpool's perspective, like I say, you know, you're in sort of third gear and you've won the game. We're top of the league by 5 points. By the end of the season, I'd be surprised that 5 point gap is actually breached. I think it would be, you know, you can win the league by 5 points. And I think that's not being said enough at the moment, is that Liverpool, without even starting, are 5 points clear, which, I mean, Isak hasn't even played, Vert hasn't even really got going yet. So it's exciting for Liverpool, I think. Very exciting.
Yeah, I saw a stat this morning. It was, I think, between first and second, it's 5 points. And then between second and 15th, it's 5 points. So,
yeah.
You know, but I mean, like, how much that second half of the table can spin, whereas Liverpool are just in a league on their own currently, aren't they?
Yeah, I think I saw a stat. I don't know whether it was just in the Premier League history, but it's the first time after five games there's been a 5 point lead. That's the third time, sorry. The second time was City in like 2016. They didn't win the league, and the last time was us in 2020, and we did win.
Don't think we played well.
Surprising.
Don't think we played well any game either, by the way. Not one game. We've been like, apart from the first half at Evans, probably the most in control I think we've been. But I don't think we look. Like I say, like we started, apart from Gavin Birch, who looks world class, we don't look that good, which again is, it's scary for everyone else, I think.
So put an Everton view on it, or the rest of the league view on it. Five games. you're saying you've not played that well yet. Why would it suddenly turn? I think there's more likely you're closer to dropping points than you are to turning round and being unbelievable. Like, Newcastle was lucky. Burnley was lucky.
I wouldn't disagree with the luck. I think last week you spoke about, you know, the last minute thing, and like that's what champions do. I think that is me and Max, as Liverpool fans, have grown up that age group of United. Tildesley famously says they always score. Liverpool now, we always score. And I agree with what you're saying, don't get me wrong, it could go terribly. This could be a moment that you reflect on. But Isak hasn't played a game yet. We just signed a £150 million striker and he's not played a proper game yet. So we've got him to come in. Vert is a new £100 million plus player in a new league who will get going. I feel like the first five games of the season is when you're kind of warming into it. You know, like City have always been like that. You know, they've always struggled the first 5-10 games. We're not clicking just yet, and we're still 5 points clear. So the evidence spin I concur with, but
my worry is actually just the rest of the league, as in like the City, Chelsea, Arsenal, aren't looking that great this year, and so I think you will win the league, and it's horrible. Like I think the next best team is Arsenal, and they're not that good. I don't think.
Well, come on, say Arsenal City game, but Arsenal aren't going to win the league because Arteta's the manager. Like, simple as that. Because that City game you're at home against City and against Liverpool. They play Liverpool when, you know, you could say you could go out and beat us there. They won't. City, they're at home against City and they've got Trossard starting. They've got three defensive midfielders. They've got Eze and Saka on the bench. It's like, there's no way Guardiola would do that. There's no way Klopp would do that. There's no way Slot would do that. It's just a different. He still thinks he plays for Everton, or isn't? He's got an Everton mind. Clearly, I think.
Yeah, but going back to the derby itself, though, in terms of Liverpool playing like you're saying, that's the best you played in the first half an hour. Without, like, I'm not taking anything away from you, but could that also not just be how terrible we were? Like, genuinely atrocious, I thought.
And we
grabbed hold of the game in after half an hour. We were the better team for the last hour, and it could be that Liverpool half like don't need to put the foot on the gas because they've already done it. But yet, from my point of view, I just thought we were so bad we made us look good, and by that point the damage is already done. We needed to almost keep it at 1-0 to have a chance of getting back in that game, as you say, with the likes of Beto, for example.
Yeah, he's so bad.
We could talk about him for half an hour because
he's so bad. Him,
he really is so bad. But my problem is obviously I don't rate Barry. I really don't. I don't know about you, Jacob. I know we've not seen much of him.
Yeah,
I don't know exactly. Yeah, how good he's gonna be, but I do feel like first half, all of our play was lumped forward and let Beto bring it down on his big 50p head, which he's never been good at.
No.
And then second half, he start playing it along the floor and Barry can obviously hold it up a bit better. And then everyone goes, Beto's rubbish him. And you think, no, we didn't play to his strength in any way there. No, I'm not saying he would have changed the game because I'm certain he wouldn't. But we didn't play in any way to his strengths.
I think Beto's a striker I've not seen before who you need to play to his strengths more than any other. And I think that's a sign of not a great striker.
Yeah, he's got one strength and we need to play to it.
Yeah, like he's great at running in behind. And he done it in the last derby at Goodison where he left Kanate for dead and slotted it. And he done it at Anfield where he was then millimetres offside. But you don't get many of those chances in the Premier League, especially not against Liverpool. Like,
yeah.
You cannot play for 10 chances a season.
No. Especially with our main attacking threat at the minute is Grealish to the byline.
Yeah.
Dink it in. Beto, I don't think he's got the intelligence to be in the right place anyway.
I mean, even when he was in the right place versus Villa after 2 minutes, he'd somehow, I don't know if he hit it with both feet or fell over the ball. It was, he basically got to score it.
Yeah.
Where'd you get him from?
Udinese.
How much?
And it was
five million or something.
Close to 30, 25, something
was
like
that. Oh my god, I thought it was five.
Spent a fucking 40 on him.
It was one of the ones.
I was going to say, your expectations are very high for him. You get him on the cheap when you never.
It was one of the ones where I think Udinese accepted us paying them over like the space of 4 years or something. So it was like the only striker we could get.
Udinese was like, we need to get rid of this guy.
Yeah, 100 pounds for the rest of his life just to get rid of him. Any other.
My pain was that, see, once we scored and it was a good goal, the fans were right up for it. We then didn't just throw the kitchen sink. I'd have almost rather lost 3-1 than just 2-1 in the game whimpering out like that. Like, just go for it. Have as many attackers as you can. Like, you'll still have Tarkowski from set pieces trying to cause issues. Like, have McNeil crossing it in. Like, do something, but just didn't.
He didn't make subs till about 80 odd minutes or something.
I think 2 minutes, yeah.
Yeah.
What's the point?
So what do you make of the talking points from the game, which was the yellow card for Dewsbury Hall and then the minutes at the end?
Now let's get into it.
Let's get the business. I've also got a question after this before we move on. Because I know they need to get it off the chest, Griffin.
The itching for it.
Do you know what I want, just for once? Like, genuinely, just do me a big favour. Can a Liverpool fan just admit something just for the first time and just accept it? Because all over social media is gifs about, like, crime or and all this. Just say the Premier League want us to win the league and they're doing everything they can to get us in. That's all you need to say to me.
Well, you don't need to say that because we won it last season, so...
Did you just be like, is ridiculous, but it doesn't change anything. So I agree. This has come out after the game, focused on just that. I don't understand.
He didn't. He focused that was almost like he was bemused at that because that referee was just atrocious. I can't get my head past this. How bad this referee is.
Yeah. Well, fair enough. But I've the whole thing about
what is it? is it in the laws? Like, is it a yellow if you take a quick free kick where the ref doesn't want you? I've literally never seen it done before.
The other on Sky Sports today with who is it? Dermot
Gallagher.
He was on it and saying he basically said that
if this referee segment, like,
and he basically said if the players said to the referee, "I need 10 yards," then he has to wait for the referee. That's the only thing. I don't think it's a yellow card though.
Yeah, that's like, it's fair enough, the ref making him retake it. I've seen that loads of times. But the yellow just seems like, oh, I'm the man, I want to show you, here's a yellow. Yeah. And you're just like, come on. It made no difference to the result at all, really. It's not like Dewsbury Hall's had to pull out tackles because of it. He's not that sort of player. If he'd done it to, like, Idrissa Gueye or something like that, then you're thinking, come on, but...
It has just been the whole talking points of the whole derby, hasn't it? So, like, one silly mistake, or whether it's a mistake or not, because as I said, I do think it is in the laws. It's just not something that's ever done. It might even be like persistent, whatever you call it, persistent.
Well, yeah. Well, what's your excuse for the 3 minutes at the end then?
I hate that how little football is played in matches. I think it was obviously the Liverpool Newcastle had loads added on, but even with that, if you work out how much football was played, it is a joke how little it is. And, like, it's just the same every game. So for the men to do three, if you properly worked it out how much football, it's probably close to 10 every game it should be. So it is just a bit ridiculous.
Probably. I do agree with Moyes
to an extent, though. If it was the other way around, it wouldn't be 3 minutes. It shouldn't be 3 minutes.
Without following the crowd, it would have been until Liverpool score, genuinely.
Where you go that far is where the contention comes. That's stupid.
This is why it's nonsense when you two go, "Oh yeah, do you know what? We just keep going and we keep working and we get the goal." No, you don't. You get 11 minutes added on to teams.
We spoke about this.
Heads going. Not only did the Premier League want them to win this, the referees are putting everything in place. They're going. This just keeps happening. We can't, and then if the heads go, that's all that would have happened with us. You caught us on the counter a couple of times, and Tarky got a couple of like recovery tackles in, which were great. But that would have just happened if it was 2-2. That would have happened. I'm certain of it.
Well, if it was 2-2, Everton wouldn't have been chasing a game and wouldn't have been rushing every throw and every set piece. They would have been wasting time, which is what Newcastle did. That game against Newcastle, and I said that on the podcast for the week, set a record since 2003 for the minutes played, like actual ball on the field, and it was 42 minutes of a 90-minute match. You can't tell me that you didn't deserve 10, 11 minutes against us
when they were losing. That timber on the floor, doing like that.
That's not spoken about enough. No, and to be fair, I wish there was more time added on because we were on a fucking counter attack. Sorry, bleep it out, we discussed this. We were on a counter attack, 5v2 with Isak about to score, and he blew the whistle. So it could have been 3-1, Sean, and you wouldn't have been complaining then.
No, I would have been.
Anyway.
I absolutely would have been. I just, you say if it was 2-2, we'd have been chasing the game. We wouldn't.
No, I said you would have been
happy as Larry with a point. In a game.
No, that's what I said. You've been wasting time.
Oh, sorry. I remember you've been going for the third goal.
No, because you were chasing the game 2-1. So that's why. Slot came out and said there was three substitutions and one goal, and there was no time wasting from either team
to justify it. That's not true.
Who was time wasting?
Every Liverpool player. Every corner, he was swapping. Do you want to take it? And you take it. Every set piece, it was just constant. And these people would say, a substitute 30 seconds and a goal is a minute. No one's followed that rule for about 5 years, have they?
No, like ever since the Qatar refs really set a marker for having like 7-8 minutes every game. And in the Prem, you fully, back in the day, 3 minutes, you'd have been like, oh, we've got time here. Whereas nowadays, you're like, if it's not at least 4 or 5, what's going on? So it was weird, but it's not really worth that much of a discussion.
No,
we just need to get better at football.
Go on, Sean.
No, all I was going to say was, as far as like losing at Anfield, I'm content with it. Like, as far as like, it was a good performance. It probably the last hour was a good sign for me that we're in a good place. It's one of them. I'm not coming home fuming. I remember
you ain't going to beat us at Anfield. Like that's when we were in charge. It was a fact.
So the fact that we've played well, the fact that Jack Grealish literally ran the show, you're looking at it going, against most teams, we'll win, we'll get 3 points. And like in the past, do you remember that derby me and you watched in Sheffield, Griffin?
Vaguely.
When Gerrard
lost a lot of games in Sheffield, to be fair.
Gerrard scored the hat trick. Don't remember that one. You won 3-0.
That was like a midweek game, wasn't it?
Gerrard scored the hat trick.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever been sadder after a game of footy than that. That was just kind of well, so like we had such bad derby days. That coming out of that one, I'm going. Well, obviously I hate them. I hate them so much. But
that's 3 in a row.
Was it that Anfield that came?
I assume so.
Yeah, that's
I think
being in it. Three derbies in a row where we've not embarrassed ourselves. Obviously, only that one draw to talk about, which was way after added time, but.
Yeah.
It sort of leads me on to something here. Sean, I briefly mentioned that I was going to talk about this, but yeah. I had this discussion with my dad, right? And my dad's getting on a bit now. He's born in the 50s in Liverpool. And like most families, him and his brothers and stuff are split. So like, he's a red, but my uncle's a blues and whatever. But they grew up in an environment where Everton and Liverpool were going back and forth for trophies and titles and you know, you get to like 85, 86 when they're around our age, so early 30s, where I think it's 86 Liverpool do the double against Everton. So Everton finished second and lose the FA Cup. And I think 85, Everton win the league and win the Cup Winners' Cup. And then you go to our generation where, and I'm not saying this like with any disrespect, but you've never seen Everton win a trophy. I don't count 95 because you wouldn't have remembered that. We've seen Liverpool win every single trophy available, right? So the question is it a rivalry anymore? And like, what does it mean to you? Because I think we have completely different outlooks on this derby.
Wasn't last season the first time you were in a stadium to watch Liverpool win a title ever in your life?
Not me, because I was in America, but...
It's not like Liverpool have won title after title since we last won a trophy.
But we've won everything. We've won two Champions Leagues and we've always been there or thereabouts winning something. Every few years we've won something. And I'm not saying this from disrespect or anything, but I don't care about the derby as much. I'm not going to speak for Griffin because it might be different. I don't really care for it. I don't get annoyed if we lose or draw. It's more of a case we've just lost to a bad team or drew to a bad team like last season. It's not the rivalry that it once was. And I actually want Everton to be good to have that rivalry. I want Everton to be challenging for trophies.
But one thing I will say, I agree on the rivalry side of it, but from our point of view, as Everton fans, it's never been about that for us. I also think you're probably, this association from is probably due to not being here. As in, like, there's like nothing else going into work with Liverpool fans. There's nothing worse than that. And then the smug faces and I just want to punch their heads in. There's nothing
worse. I think the United one in our lifetime, what Jacob would speak, not necessarily on your behalf, is United was always the one for Liverpool in my life. That was the biggest game. But yeah. I can understand totally. I mean, friend of the podcast and friend of the group, Bob, makes you want to win the derby because someone like that who is... I mean, I can't think of a better way because I love the guy, but he is pathetic when it comes to that game. You want to beat them just because of that. And work, like you say, or like, you know, you go into it next day and you've just... For Liverpool, it's always you've just done the job. It's like, thank God we won that game just because we couldn't bear someone like Bob or Sean or Jacob, I'm sure you're the same, going like, oh God, look at this, look at it. That, for me, is the derby.
Oh, you're the
more. Is that more of an annoyance though, like from Everton fans?
Well, yeah, I think now as well. United, but City is the one for us. The biggest game of the season for us, I always find now, is City, and I get the most pleasure out of beating City or the most. That's the biggest game because they are our biggest rivals still. I think
that's not. I don't count that as a rivalry though, and I'm going to point to you now, Jacob. Say in Scotland. Or say when Rangers obviously dropped down in divisions.
Yeah.
Were they still Celtic's biggest rival?
Oh, 100%. Like,
even though they were division below and they were obviously rubbish,
100%.
It still meant so much, didn't it?
Huge. Absolutely huge. Like, we played Celtic twice in cups when we weren't in the same league, and they were massive days.
Yeah.
One of them they beat us, where if you look at the team we put out that day, I can't believe it was only 2-0. It really could have been about 6 or 7. And then in the other one, we somehow beat them on penalties and thought, we're back, we're winning the league and all that. And that definitely didn't happen. I think it was 30 points in it the next season. But yeah, no, they're the biggest game. I've been many Everton games, and the only team I've seen bring balloons and banners were Liverpool fans. So I don't think they don't see it as a big game. Like, they went to the shop, got their balloons up, and then I just saw them burst them at the 98th minute. So
yeah.
Yeah, I don't...
There was loads of balloons at that time.
It's still like, so that goes to something else. It's more like it's funny, it's banter, it's between like your mates and stuff like that.
Max. We don't.
No, it's not. It's I'm not saying it's. I'm not saying like that. It's Griffin's right. Like, I don't look at the Premier League fixtures and circle Everton first or second. It's only like the fourth or fifth game I'm looking for.
We also think the games against Fulham and Brighton and teams like that are like more important games to us as well right now.
Mm.
It's just, when it's your local team, you care more, definitely.
Yeah. So is it a rivalry or not?
It's definitely a rivalry.
Yeah. I think it sums up rivalry. I think what you're saying is you're the best team that you're coming up against changes every year. Like, it was when we were younger in the mid-2000s, it was Chelsea.
Then it was, it's only because we're competing for stuff.
You are.
It's only because we're competing for stuff actively. You aren't competing for any. The biggest game of your season, I mean, I might speak on behalf, but I think I speak on behalf of most Everton fans. The biggest game of your season is Derby by a mile. Biggest game of our season isn't Everton.
What I was going to say, though, is your biggest like opponent is whoever's competing with you for the title. They're not your biggest rival. Your biggest rival is Everton.
It's not. It's Manchester United.
It absolutely isn't, Max.
Well, it is, though, because this is the point. So, like, this is like why I asked this question, and I said this to my dad. We've never, apart from the game later on that we're about to play, we've only played you in one major competition in the FA Cup semi-final in 2012. That's all I can remember. Is other ones third round when Leon Osborne?
Well, that's over the main squad, isn't it?
Yeah, you wanted to do it, Griffin.
Thank God.
ITV's head frost.
We've been competing with Man United for 30 years now, at any level.
What is it?
And obviously, we didn't win the league titles, but we played FA Cups.
They don't see you as a rival.
Yes, they do, though. Yes, absolutely they do, because that's their big. That's apart. Man City now is now the biggest game, because now they're actually competing the way Everton should be with Liverpool.
But
Liverpool, United's biggest rival. Paul Scholes said it recently. Yeah.
And it's not. It doesn't go like off like the past 20 years. Or
Paul Scholes, a legend of the club, is what you're about to say, Sean. Oh, Paul Scholes counts for whatever you're about.
Manchester United and Liverpool are the two biggest clubs in England by far, and that's why it's a rivalry. Not just because of they've won 13 Premier League titles, we've won 20, and they've won 20 league titles. Football did exist before 1992, Jacob.
If you ask United who their biggest rivalry is, I bet you some of them will say Leeds.
Very few now.
What Paul Scholes didn't say, it was not true.
Exactly.
I lived and worked in Manchester for a long time, and the biggest thing was, I worked with a lot of United fans. No one ever went, oh, Leeds is my biggest rival. So what you're talking about work, like you said, that's on you. Get it in the highlights.
I would
Sean O'Hara, Leeds.
Liverpool are just everyone's biggest rivals because nobody likes that club, really.
I love that.
The guy on Arsenal Fan TV, or it might have been an Arsenal Fan podcast, the other day, was literally saying about how Arsenal should be like Liverpool and should act like Liverpool, and he's got the utmost respect for Liverpool. I don't buy that whole we don't like Liverpool. That's just the English outlook on the city of Liverpool, and because we're successful and we don't like them. Man United, you should respect them.
Just on that point, we're talking about the Arsenal fan person. You know the overlap fan debate, which I don't know if you watch.
Yeah,
I watch it most weeks. The people on that now who think they're like, they're basically the manager of the club, like they are so arrogant with what their views are. I feel now it's gone like the Chelsea guy. Seen the Chelsea guy?
Rory.
He's on TalkSport and that, isn't he?
They just get people on their influencers or creators, though. It's not like it's the biggest fans.
It's so ridiculous. The United fan, the United one on the overlap, yeah, I don't know what his name is.
Adam McCullough.
Well, I mean, he's just a fool.
He's always just said things to get people talking about him. So, it works.
Yeah.
Maybe we should do that.
I'll be honest, I think you two have said some ludicrous stuff anyway, so you might be on next week's one.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
I'll sell out for the highest offer. Fact.
I genuinely, and I think I might be different to a lot of Liverpool fans here, I do want Everton to be somewhat successful, because I do enjoy talking to like the older generation about when Liverpool and Everton were competing for titles and trophies, coming back to the city, and that's a proper rivalry where like you would be bothered about going to work, especially after Everton win an FA Cup.
You still are,
or a league.
You genuinely still are. I'm not saying this because like to have a go, but like obviously because you're away from it, but like there is still a thing of, maybe not as much as when we were younger, but there is still a thing of the build up to Derby Day. You are just a bit like, I don't want to come week if we get beat.
But you say, I do work with other English people. You're not the only Englishman that works in America. Like, my entire staff, my boss is an Everton fan. He's from Runcorn, to be fair, Chester, but he is an Everton fan. And my United fans, everyone's from the UK. So like, we are doing the same stuff I did when I was back home. Echo.
The Flaw obviously cares about it. Maybe he wouldn't say it, but like he completely lost his head at the Derby last year, and I hadn't seen him care that much about any game of football until obviously the Derby. Obviously the players do. Jones is obviously a Scouser. I couldn't imagine he'd care as much if it was another team.
Well, what I would say to that is, well, I find like, if you don't get up for a Derby, you're going to lose. So, like, Everton are always up for it. It's always a battle. It's always a fight. And I feel like maybe it's more Liverpool players, but they have to be told a little bit to, like, get up for it. Whereas I think Everton have that, like, there's natural, like, want to get up for it.
But then I do think, in a way, sometimes that kind of takes precedence over the football for Everton. And our players will misjudge stuff and they'll think we need to put a big tackle in 5 minutes in rather than just getting the ball down and playing football and tracking a runner rather than, I think sometimes they are too keen to get like put a big tackle in.
Just before Liverpool properly competed with City, or maybe just at the start, we had a good side that could have competed against Liverpool and just consistently did stupid things and like clearly just thought, I remember Richarlison getting sent off once and just caring too much almost, and it's just like, use your brain.
Even before that with Moyes, when you were like four-fish, you know, that era, there's always times that we were there for the taking, and Moyes would always he'd do something different to what he'd been doing for the previous games, and it'd always be like, why has he done that?
That was my biggest fear this weekend, was a Moyes bottle job, and first half an hour, I was like, oh my God, it's happened again. Do you know, like, it was so, it was like a performance from like back in the day. And then obviously he went and said something at half time, and obviously come out and been a much better team. But that first half an hour was just like Moyes of old, just Everton just absolutely bottling it. And yeah, as you say, changing the whole game plan to play against Liverpool.
Kills us. Absolutely kills us.
Yeah. Right. I think we'll leave it there. I think we all need a little bit of a break. So, one thing we are just going to touch on, we're going to leave the Premier League just for a little bit. And we're just going to touch on, for anyone who cares, obviously with the Ballon d'Or last night, I know some Liverpool fans might be a bit, if you're bothered, you might be a bit annoyed about Salah getting shunned. Do we have any thoughts on Dembele being crowned best player in the world?
No, not. I think he probably deserved it just for how good he was in the big games. And then he can back it up with winning a treble as well. But the whole thing, it has just been a bit ridiculous. Or not ridiculous, but you can't say he's this good because he's won a Ballon d'Or, when like Neymar's never going to win a Ballon d'Or sort of thing. Like, it's just, it's difficult. I thought Salah was going to win it. And then I think he kind of fell off, but wasn't great towards the end of the season. And then obviously Liverpool didn't get through in the Champions League as well, and that's probably impacted them when it shouldn't. It should be just on the player, but it, It's just a popularity thing. It doesn't really matter.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I agree. It's a whole year, and I think there's always a lot of recency bias. And I think, Sean, you might have said that usually you basically got to win a Champions League to get it, or that major trophy that summer. Paris Saint-Germain were terrible in the first half of the season. They barely scraped through to the next round of the Champions League and then turned it on. And I think part of that was signing Kvaratskhelia from Napoli. He was just amazing and unlocked something for them. Dembele was brilliant, to be fair. Anfield, he was fantastic.
Even then, Villa pushed them really close. We could have been put out there.
Yeah, I mean, we lost on penalties, and I think at Anfield, we were the better side. And
I mean, as soon as I saw who was...
Then there's a change then.
Yeah. When you saw Nunes,
and then you've got
he was game over.
Yeah. And then Lamine Yamal to be second. I feel like that's just everyone's so amazed by the fact he's just that young and that good. If you had a match tomorrow based on last season's performances, who'd you be starting, right wing, Lamine Yamal or Salah? I'd still be picking Salah. And then I think the rest of it as well, Fatinho was third. Cole Palmer's eighth.
Yeah.
He's not a chance to be the eighth best player in the world.
No, absolutely not.
Gyökeres 15th, Haaland was 25th.
Elise is above Van Dijk, Elise. Yeah. I mean, he's a good player. He's been
fantastic.
Elise is, you know what? Apparently he's going to be the Salah replacement. That's what the brains at Liverpool are saying. But I mean, he's not the 18th best player in the world at the moment.
18th.
And Salah's
18th was McTominay. Scotland's best.
Fair enough. Whatever. He was higher than Van Dijk, I'm pretty sure, anyway.
Yeah.
He's not a better footballer than Van Dijk, fact. And Salah, I think he got 47 goal involvements last season.
Yeah.
Consistently over the years, he's been, I don't know, I felt like it was his last chance of winning, something he deserves, personally.
I mean, Messi...
It is such a...
Messi won it a year, still due to the World Cup, even though it was a full year later. And then Lewandowski didn't win it a year. He got 55 goals or something when Bayern won I don't know how many trophies. So it's not the end of the world. I'm sure Salah's not having a sleepless night.
No. Yeah. I don't think he's ever attended one thing either. I don't think he cares too much
less
about
and less.
It.
Isn't it meant to be you're the best player in the world? The title is you're the best player in the world if you're the Ballon d'Or is a theory.
Yeah.
So Messi was, even if Lewandowski scored 55 goals, Lewandowski is not as good as Messi.
No, I know.
Isn't that it? It's not the best player in the world, is it? It's best player in the world for that year.
That's been successful.
Yeah,
I suppose. It's hard to write. Well, yeah, fair enough. Okay.
Sorry, Jacob, just go. You mentioned Scott McTominay.
Yeah.
Is he a hero in Scotland?
Yeah, and then he's also a hero in Naples, and it's brilliant to see. He started being further and further up for Clark, and it was working. He obviously scored the goals v Spain and things like that. And then Napoli now kind of did it, and then play him off the left, but really attacking. And he's just because he's always worked hard, he was loved by Scotland anyway. And then he's just added goals and important moments. And you're just wow, he's just brilliant.
Yeah, I was gonna. Was he adored before his glow up? Because obviously his glow up is serious, isn't it?
He was definitely loved as much by Scotland fans before even the move to Napoli, 100%. But now they're just he is the man. He just looks the Italian son. At that Wimbledon look, many Scots are going to try replicate that. Many will. Unreal.
Go on, Max, what are you going to say?
Oh, it was just talking about being a popularity contest. Some of the journalists' votes and the coaches' votes are coming out, and the Albanian journalist as Cole Palmer is the second best player in the world.
Yeah, there's
some things like that.
Every year. It's
some bad ones. He doesn't have Salah in the top 10. And then there is an African bias. They don't tend to like the Egyptian players. Yeah. So a lot of the African coaches and journalists didn't include Salah at all in any of their top 10s and had Hakimi from PSG as 1 and 2.
I mean,
with Lamine Yamal. Lamine Yamal's really Moroccan, isn't he? He's not Spanish.
Donnarumma got 8th. And I'm just not having a goalie being the 8th best footballer in the year. I just hate that. I hate goalies. He is not the 8th goal in the world. I'm not having it. It's a joke.
What keepers have come quite high recently? Has there been any?
Neuer got third a couple of years ago, but I don't think anyone else. I can't think of any others off the top of my head.
I think I remember didn't Oliver Kahn get quite high. I'm sure he got third once.
Maybe that was around the Owen. Must be Owen time.
Yeah, must be a genius.
He was in there.
There's only been one goalkeeper winner, and it's that Lev Yashin, isn't it?
I've seen videos of him beating goals. It's a different sport that they're playing back then, man.
Is he even wearing gloves?
He's not wearing gloves, but he's got his wee hat on.
Can't be winning now, you're wearing a cap. Nah.
Ridiculous.
Right, go on then. I think it's time to move on to our quiz of the week. Go on, Max.
Yeah, so we are playing Whose Lineup Is It Anyway, which was requested by Griffin, even though he just complained about it. the game in question is the 2012 FA Cup semi-final, Liverpool versus Everton. You've got to give me a player, one by one, who started that match from either team. You've got three lives, so technically four. We'll do it like last time. So if you get it wrong... You're against each other. The kit for the final, the semi final.
Well, just like saying that. Yeah,
I've got it here.
Pass.
I don't really. Anyway. So.
Good edit. You can edit, Sean. You can edit the kit in there. Just go. Boom.
So one by one, you'll have three lives, and then once you lose all your lives, you'll have one more go. But whoever is left standing at the
end. What year was it, Max?
2012 FA Cup semi-final.
See, I just know
Liverpool won.
I'm going to name a player that's either came off the bench or something like that. Because I know players that had major moments. It's just, did they start?
Yeah, Liverpool won. I think it was 2-1.
Yeah.
And then he went on to lose in the final to Chelsea. Okay, so Jacob, you being our guest, I'll let you go first, then Griffin, and then Sean.
Nikita Jelovic.
Yeah, he started up top.
Pretty sure he's
Griffin.
Yeah, just clarify, we're not seeing the kit. We can't see the kit.
No, don't Google that, Ivan. It was the last Adidas kit with the three stripes on the top and a bit of a gold. Before we went to Warrior.
Pepe Reina.
Incorrect.
It's a costume.
Stitch up.
Sean.
Right, I'm going to go for Sylvain Distan.
Correct.
Yeah.
We won't mention why.
Back to you, Jacob.
We'll go Suarez.
Correct. Also scored. Griffin.
He looks stressed.
So, prior to me coming on to this podcast, I'm actually quite good at this game. Truly. But I need the kit. I can't visualise the teams without it. But
I was going to show you the kit.
Like and go.
Just put it up on your phone or something so I can see it. Just
all right.
I mean, like, right. So Pepe Reina might not play that game. What? Say again.
It was our first year of uni. End of our first year. Who played then?
Again, it doesn't help me. That. It does not. Honestly, it doesn't mean anything to me. That.
Cheers.
Show me Pepe Reina in the kit so I can see Pepe. Okay.
if he rhymes off the full team now.
That truly helped. Jamie Carragher.
I mean, you could have said him anyway.
I know, yeah. Do you guys need the Everton kit? What? Jamie Carragher did start, yeah.
Yeah, can we see the Everton kit as well, please?
Fucking hell. Sorry, Sean. You keep swearing after saying we didn't swear.
You meant to be a fucking host to this. I requested this.
Nobody's ever asked for the kit.
The fold-over collar.
I know, but it's nice. I can't picture that. If we can picture it, I can picture the team. I said to this, Sean, I said it before I came on, I wouldn't do this fucking nonsense if you didn't get the kit.
Jesus. Wow.
It was that one.
Yeah.
Got it?
I think that might have been my first Everton kit, potentially.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Anyway.
I will go...
Sean.
Stephen Pienaar.
Hold on, sorry. Stephen Pienaar did not play.
You're messing.
That is incorrect.
We'll go Jagielka.
Incorrect. He was on the bench.
He was going to be my next one. I'm glad you've taken him.
So you've all lost a life now.
He didn't part us over.
Griffin, back to you.
Steven Gerrard.
Correct.
Oh yeah, she's not injured me.
Yeah, Sean, up to you.
I will go Leighton Baines.
Correct.
Fellaini.
Correct.
Oh, Fellaini was so good back then.
Yeah.
Griffin.
I think the left back is De Sena.
Incorrect.
Fuck off.
Oh. Elias John Griffin.
Hey, the kit really helps.
It well is worse meant to.
Said Carrigan and Gerrard.
Yeah. Let me see the kit again.
Fucking hell.
Right, I'll go Tony Abbott.
Incorrect. Two lives lost for you, Sean.
Wow.
Good job I've got a second game on the go here.
Could be in here. Show me that kit again, I'm fucking winning.
Jacob.
That has surprised me. Did Stuart Downing play?
He did.
Could be a shot.
Stuart Downing. Sean.
No, it's Griffin.
Griffin.
Lucas Leiva in the middle.
Incorrect. Right, you've lost all your lives, so one more and you're done.
Absolute bullshit, this.
Right.
Lucas Leiva wasn't even in the squad. No, it was the centre, just to add that in.
So?
Right, I'm going to go for it. I'm really, really stumped on this Everton back line. Oh, Tim Howard.
Yep, correct, Tim Howard.
Get me in the game there.
We still had Tim Cahill, but it seems such an attacking team already, but I'll say him. Tim Cahill.
Sorry, I cut out. You said Tim Cahill. Tim Cahill, yes, correct. Jacob's on fire. He's got five right here.
I am now, sorry for the swim, I'm myself.
He's kitchen.
If Suarez is starting up front in that game, I think he must be at the same time as another Andy Carroll.
Correct.
Oh, I thought he maybe came off the bench.
Yeah,
no,
me too.
He started.
I knew he scored. And then didn't score in the final per check. What a save.
Yep.
Oh, that header, yeah. Now you're talking.
Now you remember.
Yeah. So let's see that kit again, lad.
Right, I'm really, really struggling here. Right, I'm going to go random Liverpool player. Did Raul Morales play?
Oh my God.
Incorrect.
He
was. He got sold in the same transfer window as Torres. Clue Torres didn't play.
Phil Neville.
Correct. He was
of course
captain.
It was.
Too early for Seamus.
Yeah. I'm on my last easy here.
Come on, Griffin.
I'm going back to the stalwarts. Daniel Agger.
Correct. And just to help you out, he played left back.
Ooh. So there's another centre half.
Mm-hmm.
Was it Martin Skirtle?
Oh, it was shit. Martin Skirtle.
Correct. Nice.
So you got, do you want me to recap who you've got so please. Far
yeah.
as we go through? So for Liverpool, you got Carragher, Gerrard, Skirtle, Agger, Downing, Suarez, Carroll. So you're missing two midfielders and a right back and a goalie. For Everton, you've got Howard, Neville, Distan, Baines, Fellaini, Cahill, Jelovic. So you're missing three midfielders, I think.
Did I not say Osman? No.
You didn't, but there's your answer, Jacob. Congrats, well done. You had Leon Osman. He's lost one life. Yeah. So Osman, you got him as well. So you're missing, I think this player is a midfielder. I'm not too sure. But you got three midfielders if he is. And centre back for Everton. Who's next?
Who's going there? That Liverpool right back. So two midfielders, right back, and a goalkeeper. The right back must be Glenn Johnson.
Correct. Look at that. Just you pictured Andy Carroll missing that shot, missing the header in the finals. Just unlocked core memories. Sean, that's to you.
I think I might be out here. I can't think of this other Everton centre half. And I can't think who's playing on the wings either.
I've got a name.
The fact Pienaar's not there is just throwing me totally. Because I'm picturing from that season, I'm picturing that United game, the 4-0 one at Old Trafford.
I'm like that with the saying, I only love the goalie. That's all I can picture in the great.
That was like 2008, though, Griffin.
Yeah. That was so long before.
Yeah.
Sorry, what?
In that silver coat.
That's what I mean. That's why I need the kit.
Have we got Liverpool, both Liverpool fullbacks?
Yeah.
Yes, because Daniel Agger, please. Yeah.
Right, I might just have to bow out here. Because this is one person I can picture in that kit. Did Jay Spearin play?
He did.
Get in.
Spearin.
Jay Spearin. So for Liverpool, you're missing centre mid and a goalie. Back to you, Jacob.
Did Johnny Huytinga play centre back?
He did.
Lovely.
League winner with Liverpool as a coach. Johnny Huytinga, centre back. So that is your back four done for Everton. Griffin.
This is going to be a all she wrote for Matthew Griffin, I believe. What? Just tell me what positions you need for Liverpool and Everton again. Positions.
Liverpool is a goalkeeper and a centre mid. Everton is a centre mid. And I think this player might have played wide midfield. This one's I have no idea who he was, so. But yeah, should we
is that to... a clue? Doesn't know who he was. I don't know how good.
No, Mark Everton midfielder. There are plenty.
They played in that Legends game the other week.
The centre mid is definitely gettable.
For Everton?
Everton. And for Liverpool.
And we've had Fellaini and who else? Neville you've had, haven't you?
Okay.
Neville played right back. You had Osman, Fellaini, Cahill. So I think you've got a holding midfielder and a wide player.
Darren Gibson.
Correct. Darren Gibson. This was looking shocking early on. That's actually been pretty good.
just needed to use their lines up.
Yeah. They needed that carefree attitude.
What a shout. Baller, by the way. The streets won't forget Darren Gibson.
I genuinely do think I'm out now because I can't picture these centre mids. Liverpool's keeper. I've got a name, but I don't think he was there that early.
I've got about three names for that.
Yeah, I'm not going there. That could be anyone.
I'm going. I think I'm
I might
going
go for the winger. The Everton winger, who you might not have heard of. I'm going to count on the fact that this is a player who I think I remember in that kit. But he was absolutely awful. I don't honestly don't think he played that many times. I'm going to go for Royston Drenthe.
No, incorrect, Sean.
Good show,
you are out, my friend. Back to you, Jacob.
Was Brad Jones in goals?
Yes, he was.
He was the one.
Brad Jones.
I didn't want to risk
it. So just a midfielder. Sorry.
Liverpool midfielder?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not going to get that. What about Evan?
Wide player.
He's not he's giving up.
I can't even name anyone. A Liverpool central midfielder. There's not Lucas. I have to pass, I'm afraid.
Oh, what a way to go.
If you pass, you're out. I'll just guess.
Can't believe he's not. I don't. Someone.
What was Alonso?
No, incorrect. Griffin, you're out, which means Jacob, you are our winner, but I'll let you have a guess.
Is Billy and Etinov the winger?
No, he wasn't.
Great shout, though.
I've honestly got no way of giving a clue because I don't know him. But it's my guy, Gray. Sorry.
We were never in
MG.
MG, Sean.
MG.
You're not an MG, but not as fat as the one that you know.
You're not getting it. You're not getting it.
Do you know it, Jacob?
He's just said it.
He didn't hear me.
But you're not getting it.
Who's the Liverpool midfielder?
The Everton player shares a surname similarly to the player you have right now in midfield. Maybe it sounds similar.
That's the exact same, I'm pretty sure, is it not?
They're both gay.
Oh, my guy gay?
Yes. He started left wing.
Literally never in a million years, I'm naming him. I reckon Bob will win, though, you know.
The Liverpool player, I cannot believe.
Alan would have got that.
Anyone want to guess the Liverpool player?
Maxi Rodriguez?
No, centre mid. We signed them that year.
Henderson?
Jordan Henderson.
Too early for Henderson, to be fair.
Yeah, you signed that year, 20 million.
So like I say, Callum would have got all them. I don't know how, but he would have known.
So the Everton team to recap in goal, Tim Howard. Then your back four was Neville, Heitinger, Distan, Baines. Midfield, Osman, Gibson, Fellaini, my guy Gray, Tim Cahill, Jelovic. The bench was Hanneman as your keeper, maybe.
Yeah.
Hibbert. Jagielka, Shaqua Lacy, James McFadden, Seamus Coleman came on for Gray, and Victor Onichibi came on for Baines.
Phil Jagielka must have been sat there like, why am I here with you?
His first name was Dennis, wasn't it?
Yeah.
The Liverpool team was Brad Jones, and you had Glenn Johnson, Carragher, Skirtle, Agger, Henderson, Gerrard, Spearin, Stuart Downing, Suarez, Carroll. And then the bench was Petr Gulaski, the goalie, Jose Enrique, Maxi Rodriguez, Dirk Kuyt, Johnny O'Shelvey, Martin Kelly, and Craig Bellamy. Well done, Jacob. Guess
well
wins.
Done, Jacob.
Come on.
Hey, Jacob.
Start to close up then. We'll do our Super 6 before we do our closing questions. So I will tell you the games for this weekend and I'm going to ask you three to give me your predictions. We won't go into too much detail just because I know we're all on a bit of a deadline. Right.
The Griffin here is results from last week. Unbelievable.
Yeah. So,
did you well?
So you're currently top of the leaderboard, Griffin, with 13. No, but the problem is, if you have a stinker now, it brings your average down.
Yeah,
so I'm not going to have a stinker, mate. This is it. I've set the precedent.
Max, so far, every week has got two. So his average is two.
And I got 13 in 1 week.
Yeah, Max is consistent. Got to give him that.
Yeah, right, bad.
So we'll go in this order. We'll go Max, Griffin, Jacob. So Max go first for Chelsea, Brighton.
Cole Palmer might be out. I'll still go 2-1. 2-1 Chelsea.
Okay. Ron Griffin.
I'll go 1-1.
Jacob.
I will say 1-0 Chelsea.
Right, fair enough. Right, we'll go next one then. Is Crystal Palace at home to Liverpool?
Istanbul repeat.
Oh, me again?
If only.
Me first, Sean.
Not Max yet.
This is going to be a tough one because they've had us a little bit recently.
You know, Palace are unbeaten in 17 games.
Are they really?
Honestly, I seen that stat yesterday. Maybe 17 home games.
No, it's 17 fully. I think it's.
Yeah. They've got a famous Crystal Palace fan on Twitter. I can't remember his name. But he tweeted about it saying it doesn't get any recognition. But they're unbeaten. Yeah.
They're playing news this weekend and was the following.
It ends this weekend and starts up again next week.
Liverpool. They could be on the best form ever and then play us and just. Do what we do, just play crap, and the Palace fans don't understand what they're watching. Our record with Palace is like the best versus anyone.
Is it? Yeah,
yeah, we just beat them or drop, like, we never lose to Palace, need enough.
Well, thanks for jinxing us there, Jacob. Nice one.
Yeah, I'm gonna go Liverpool 1-0 with a 115th minute winner.
Yeah, I'm gonna go 0-0. I don't think we'll score past them.
He bottled it.
100% I'm going 3-3. Bring back happy memories.
Get Dwight Gale back. Right, go on. We'll change the order then, so it's not Max picking first. So we'll go Griffin first, Jacob, then Max. We'll just keep moving at every two. So okay. City, Burnley, Griffin.
5 now.
2.
I'm going 4-0.
Burnley.
You're on 4-0?
Yeah.
Max?
3-0.
Ah. Come on, Burnley. And then Griffin first again for Forest Sunderland.
I like Sunderland this season, by the way. That Xhaka signing is, I think, 1-1.
I like that. I want to go 1-1 as well. It's a... I think Forest aren't going to be that great under Ange. And
Sunday. Don't be shy, Jacob, mate.
Knows what you're talking about.
I'm going to go Ange to lose 3 in a row. I'm going to go Sunderland 2-1.
Yeah. Have you seen that picture of his face when they conceded against Swansea at the end? Have you seen it? And he's just like, oh my God. He's completely disillusioned with football. Like, totally thinking, why have I done this again? It's funny.
Right, last two. So we'll go Jacob first, then Max, then Griffin. Jacob, Villa, Fulham.
1-0 to Fulham. Still no goals for Villa in the league. Or maybe they've got one, sorry.
Yeah. Max?
1-1.
I'm going to go 3-1 Fulham.
I mean, having watched Everton against Villa last week, they were genuinely atrocious. Like,
I think he'll end up going. Yeah, Emery.
I believe how bad they were.
I think.
Yeah. And then big, potentially big game of the weekend is Newcastle Arsenal, which always is like a bit of a headline building, isn't it? So Jacob first, Newcastle at home to Arsenal.
Wow. Ooh. I mean, Newcastle have been drawing games 0-0 every week, and Arsenal will take a clean sheet. But I'm going to go completely against that and say 2-2. I feel it's two good teams. I just want them to have a good game.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was thinking that as well.
Yeah, it's always a good game, though, isn't it? So, like, there's always like potential for goals.
Yeah.
Max, go on.
Saka's back as well, isn't he? Fully fit now, so he'll be starting. I put Valtomada in me Premier League fantasy team, so I need them to score. I'm also going to say 2-2.
Griffin?
And yeah, 3-1 Arsenal.
Hey, well, I didn't see that coming. After you slagging them off before.
Never second guessing, mate. That's it. You know,
keep
that's,
on
why on that's why I'm on 13 points.
Not for long. Right. Thank you for that, lads. So that pretty much brings us to an end for this week's episode. We are just going to close with one, maybe two closing questions. So, Max, have you got one for us? And then I'll close us up.
Yep. I'm trying to find the question. There's a kickoff time this weekend, or it might have been last weekend. That was 8 o'clock. What is the best kickoff time to watch a game?
3 o'clock Saturday. Fact.
It's not even on TV, though.
Doesn't matter.
I think I would say 3 o'clock's one of the worst.
It's a classic.
I like an half 12, mate.
I like, because obviously old firms are always half 12, I prefer, actually, to me, you wake up and then it's football's about to start pretty soon.
Yeah.
Like, it's just a bigger game, therefore, so I'm going half 12.
Yeah. I think at 3 o'clock, not only obviously you can't watch them, but like, if you're going, or even if you're waiting to watch it, however you do that.
Getting a boozer for 12, and then you set up by 3.
Like, genuinely, like, this might just be like, now that I've got a child, but it just takes up your whole day. Like, you are 12, the footy's done, and then you've, like, 2 o'clock, you've still got a bit of time.
Most people like that, though, because it takes up the whole day. So then, like, go and see the match, and, you know, for, like, 12 hours.
Like, I joined a new football team, and they kick off at 10 a.m., and it's brilliant, whereas before, my team used to kick off at 2 p.m., 4 p.m., where it's just your football done, to enjoy the rest of your day.
Yeah, definitely. Go on, Max.
Yours
must be careful, because, sorry, that derby must have kicked off for you at, like, 7 in the morning.
Yeah, it was. That's why I don't like half 12s, and Liverpool got so many of them in the past 2 years. I had to get up at 7 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
I did mention Saturday, 8 o'clock. It doesn't happen often. I actually really do like that kickoff time. It's actually better for me here because it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah. I'd hear it as a which is good. An away fan going to that. That couldn't be worse.
Yeah.
And it also
I'm thinking more like going to the pub.
It means you can't watch Strictly as well.
So, yeah.
You've got to prioritise, haven't you? Strictly or so.
Wow.
Sunday 4 o'clock game used to be one of my favourites.
Yeah.
Sunday 4 o'clock.
I like the Sunday, obviously, because that is just a day in front of the telly watching the footy, innit? So I'm not sure that the 4 o'clock actually matters because the footy's just on. Whereas I'd say the 12 o'clock is my favourite to sit down and watch. And I think if we need a consensus, two of us went for half 12. So I think that's the winner there. Now, this one. Just before we go, I'm gonna steal a little bit from the flat chat, if you don't mind, Jacob. I love how at the end of every one of your videos, obviously you say you have your little closing line that you all say.
Yeah.
And I was wondering if, as a group, we could come up with like a little tagline that we could say at the end of a video. Because the other week Max tried it and he said like up the reds or something. And due to our logo,
yeah,
I said up the pinks, which. due to the connotations, I'm not sure that's a good idea.
Nah. So
if we can think of a tagline that might go?
Ours happened naturally because one of the guys, when we first started, always wanted the last line and always said this as his last line. So we then jokingly started just saying it after him and then became a thing that we all said it. But it was a complete accident. We just couldn't be bothered with one of us being like, thanks for watching, see you, cheers. And if he'd just butt in with one more line, you're just like, it's not your place.
Who was it by? If you don't mind me asking?
It was obviously Adam.
Because I just, sometimes when I'm closing the episodes, it's like, see you later. And I like that you just end it. You know when it's over.
Yeah.
But I like
what about? What about
worried about asking you?
So you can cut it like here now. I think that is bang on. And deep cut yeah. again. What about, yeah, you know, stay classy, keeping up appearances, all the best, goodbye.
Stay classy, yeah. You, I tell you what, you stay classy then. So you heeded your own advice.
That's what you get from me, lad.
Yeah.
Risque.
Yeah, definitely not libelous either, is it?
No. He's not going to do nothing, mate.
So maybe the solution is it happens naturally, yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's fine.
Okay, so yeah, one day someone will say something and yeah. I'll jump on it. I'll do that. Right, okay. So thanks for that, lads. We will call it a day there. I think that was a pretty heated start, but obviously all in good fun. And then we ended it with a bit of a quiz and some risque predictions on Super Six. So thanks very much. And I'll see you next week.
Yeah, see ya.
You're a blast.
You're a blast.